The music might be chill, but my enthusiasm is not. My name's Maggie Dawn. We are celebrating Judge, now soon to be Justice, Susan Crawford's astounding whooping of Brad Schimmel yesterday, as well as Jill Underle's victory over what I'm just going to say was an unqualified, inarticulate candidate, Brittany Kinzer. Big wins. Sad to see the constitutional amendment get adopted yesterday. That's going to make it harder for people to vote in this state ultimately, but highly expected because, again, Republicans word those constitutional amendments in a way that make them sound very reasonable and appealing and belie many of the consequences. I also think in a lot of ways, the voter ID, trying to enshrine that in our state's constitution, that is a political battle whose ship, in many ways, at least in my opinion, has sailed already. So let's celebrate the wins. We have to also point out the outcomes in Florida, I think, are absolutely overwhelming. And I think the messages from the Wisconsin election and the two House races, the special elections in Florida, are slightly different. And I want to talk about those. Then I want to hear from all of you. What are your reactions? Did you break out in tears of joy? I know I did. 855-752-4842. 855-75-Wisconsin. 75-Civic for Wisconsin, I'll say. Join us. Join this conversation. We're going to take some of those but in just a moment. But I wanted to, again, remind us of these outcomes in Florida. I want to tell you what I think is the difference in the message that we can take from both the Wisconsin Supreme Court and those Florida special election House races. Those two elections in Florida were for the seats formerly held by SignalGate, Mr. Gmail for National Security Secrets, Mike Walls, who's now the National Security Advisor. It was his House seat, as well as the creep otherwise known as Matt Gaetz. What happened to his face, Matt Gaetz? That guy. Yeah. Hopefully we don't have to hear from him ever again. Those were the two House seats up in Florida. These are districts that Donald Trump won by over 30 percentage points in 2024. These are as red as you can get. The punditry calls them ruby red districts. Again, in Gaetz's district, Trump took it by 32 points. Unbelievable. Gaetz had won it by over 30 points against his prior Democratic opponent. Holy cow. They lost 17 points. The Republican in Gaetz's district, a guy by the name of Petronas, he only won by 15 percentage points. Ouch. That is a huge backslide. That district shouldn't have been in any question for Republicans, and it was. In the 6th district in Central Florida, again, Walls, then Congressman Mike Walls, now Mr. SignalGate, Mr. I use Gmail to communicate national security secrets as the National Security Advisor. Yeah, that guy, he had won his seat in the last regular election cycle by 33 points. The Republican beat the Democrat in that 6th district in Central Florida only by about 14 points. Those are historic backslides in ruby red Republican districts. Here is the difference in message and in meaning, at least in my opinion, that we can take from these. I think the Wisconsin election was in many ways a very clear repudiation of billionaire-backed candidates where the corruption is out loud in front. It was a repudiation of billionaires like Donald Trump, as well as billionaire overlords like Elon Musk. I'm going to talk about the fact that after the election last night, apparently Donald Trump wants a little less to do with Elon Musk, wants him to take maybe a back seat. Boy, that was fast. That is what I get from the Wisconsin election. When I look at the two Florida House seats, I see something different. What I see there is a message coming from conservatives, coming from Trump voters, not the extreme MAGAs, But folks that vote for Trump, folks that vote for Republicans consistently saying, get your filthy hands off of my Social Security benefits. Stop hurting veterans. I care about Medicare and Medicaid. They are discovering, meaning the MAGAs are discovering that, yeah, the third rail of politics is still Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the VA. That, to me, is the message. Proceed with caution. Let's see if Donald Trump heeds those warning signs. He can distance himself and try to, you know, oh, I'm not really being, you know, manipulated and controlled by Elon Musk. He can try to do that. But if the MAGA movement continues to attack the very benefits that millions upon millions upon millions of Americans rely on to stay alive, that, I think, might be the unraveling of what is the cruelty of chaos and incompetence. So watch this space, folks. Now I want to hear from you all, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got L.A. Tom on the line. Hey, Tom, how you doing? It's a day of celebration, my friend.
Hey, Maggie, it most certainly is. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and Wisconsin voters really showed that yesterday. I want to bring up what I brought up yesterday, though, and, you know, it's a real problem in this country, and I think it's one of the reasons why Wisconsinites voted the way that they did. We have a real problem with money in politics through Citizens United and the conservative Supreme Court decision of Citizens United, which basically opened the floodgates for legal bribery in this country. And I don't understand. I mean, I would think this would be an area where we could find common ground with anybody, Republicans, Democrats, yes, Independents, about how money in politics needs to go away. But I keep on hearing people say, well, it's impossible that it can go away. I don't believe that, because I believe that if we all have a common thing, if I was running for office right now, I would run strictly on getting money out of politics. And I want to know, you know, when people like Mandela Barnes, I was going to ask him yesterday, you know, when they lose their elections and stuff and they see how much money they had to actually, you know, come up with in order to run for office, doesn't it make them just want to become, warriors or democracy warriors for getting money out of politics? Because I know myself, I'm not donating anymore to their emails and the text and the, you know, phone calls and all that stuff anymore. I am a person that I don't want to be a part of that problem. And I want to hear not people say, hey, I don't take corporate PAC money. I don't take this. I want to hear we need to get money completely out of politics and move to a public funding of campaigns.
Tom, I couldn't agree with you anymore. What it's going to take is a constitutional amendment. Folks, what we have seen since 1976, which was the year that Buckley v. Vallejo was decided, I'm not going to go through the case, but it was the first time that the Supreme Court indicated that, yeah, there's going to be limits on whether or not we can regulate money in politics. Citizens United in 2011, I believe. What we have through those two cases is the legalization of corruption in politics. Politicians can be bought. Not all of them are bought and sold, but every single damn one of them under our current corrupt system has to raise a ton of money. What that does is incentivize billionaire overlords like Elon Musk to throw hundreds of millions of dollars into campaigns. If the billionaire class can do that, the rest of us are very much at an enormous, sometimes insurmountable disadvantage. I don't care who you are. I hate money in politics. It damn well can be regulated. And we, the people, as our friend Tom from LA says, we need to demand that of our elected officials. It's going to take a constitutional amendment to cure what ails us as a country. Everyone can get behind this. I hate money in politics. It is a shame. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you are a new caller, a woman, a conservative, a vet, please let Cal, who's on the board, know. You're going to go to the front of the line. We got one such new caller here. Eric from Milwaukee, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, my friend?
Hi, thanks. Well, I'm happy with the results. I think we're just so far away from things like McCain-Feingold, where they were taking money out. I hope that happens someday, but I just don't think that we can get by without making contributions to candidates that we can support. My hope for the new Supreme Court Justice Crawford is that she becomes the kind of center-left Brian Hagedorn. Maybe not just, you know, an ideologue one way or the other, but someone that will look at cases. I mean, I never voted for Brian Hagedorn, but I have some grudging respect for what he's done. And I think he may be one of the happiest people that she got elected, because it takes him off the hot seat of having to vote his conscience every once in a while.
Eric, great comments. Please call again. My friend will get you right on. I agree with absolutely everything that you have said. What I want from the Supreme Court justices, be they more conservative or liberal justices, is to tone down the rhetoric. Focus on the law. Please don't be an already baked cake. Please step away from the partisanship. You do not owe any party or cause your support in a case. View the case on the merits. Be brave enough to potentially tick off your supporters if you know that the case merits straying from your liberal support base or your conservative support base. I too share with Eric a grudging respect for Brian Hagedorn. Brian Hagedorn, let's all remember, was the one guy that stood between us and undoing hundreds of thousands of votes in 2020. He was the one vote that helped preserve our democratic process here in the state of Wisconsin. Kudos to you, Brian Hagedorn. Let every justice take their oath seriously and embrace their independence. View the case, apply the law to those facts. Do not predetermine outcomes. Wisconsin deserves better than that. Dick from Madison, you're up next. What do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Well, how could it not be better than last night, Maggie? I mean... I said it this morning, and I'll say it again. My first thoughts were, game on. Cory Booker was fantastic, too. I mean,
yes.
That was so unbelievable what he did. And then people talking about, well, you know, Ted Cruz did that. Well, he didn't do it for near as long. And then he sat there and read Dr. Seuss books.
Yep.
Virtually everything Cory Booker said had meaning instead of that clown Cruz. So even compare the two. It's just not even possible.
I agree. Ted Cruz was standing up basically to tick off his own party. It was a completely meaningless act, and it was not eloquent. It was not a speech from the heart. It was just Ted Cruz being Ted Cruz, which is basically about as unlikable as you can possibly get. I challenge anyone to listen to what Cory Booker said and say, I don't find some pieces of that I agree with. I challenge anyone, I don't care what party you think you belong to or whom you may have voted for in the past, take a listen to what that man had to say. It's incredibly, incredibly powerful. We do have some of those cuts. I want to let everybody get their say this afternoon before I use the sound that we've got, because we've got tomorrow and Friday to keep talking about the big V-Day here for democracy and Wisconsinites. Karen from Middleton, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say this afternoon, my friend?
Hey, Maggie, I'm just so proud of our Democrats these last 3 days. I mean, seriously, and last night was so good. And I'm just so tired of being afraid. My Social Security pays my rent. I've worked my rear end off to get to a place where I can be independent. And I'm just a crying shame I'm not the only one, Maggie.
Karen, sorry, I had to cut you off. Don't be afraid, Karen. Be activated. Your voice matters. It mattered yesterday. It matters today here on the show. We do this together for one another. It is our moral moment. It ain't about right and left. It's about right and wrong. This great conversation continues on the other side. We're going to take care of some business real quick. We'll be right back with each and every one of your texts and calls. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Keep it locked.